Good morning. Today is Friday, February the 19th. It's a wet day.
It's a wet day.
Joining us this morning, our Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Oh, is it wet enough for you?
You know, I think I'm still enjoying the rain this year, so I can't complain. But the wind and the thunder last night, that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys have any power outages?
We didn't. Not that I've heard of throughout any parts of Arcata, not where we live last night either. So.
Oh, well.
How about you? You had power all night?
No. Yeah. Yeah. We had a little bit of flicker, but nothing really magical. I know McKinleyville's taking a couple of hits, and there are a couple of other places that are doing battle with it. But and that's, 'tis the season, as they say, right?
Not the seasons like we used to have, though. I mean, I have to say, it was rare 10 years ago to not go multiple, you know, 3, 4, 5 day period, well, 3 or 4 day periods without power and, you know, knock on wood. And
now you're starting to speak like a native.
Yeah. haven't seen that in several years.
Oh, boy, do I have a quote for you. You'll love this one. this is from Thomas Fuller. Gnomologia. I don't know.
That's the whole quote?
No. 1732, quote, many things grow in the garden that were never sowed there. Under the heading of weed. And there goes.
Oh, you can't open a page in a book and not get away from it.
The double entendre. Yeah. Well, I could have pulled the Shakespearean quote for you also, but I thought that might be a little too heavy for this morning. For a lot of us, storms coming through like this just are kind of either fun if you're a kid and don't have any responsibilities. You know, if you got to work in it, okay, fine. You can always think of, you know, snow drifts of 25 feet. This is a whole lot better than that. We don't have to, you know.
It's a little warmer, too.
Can't complain too much. but some of us in various businesses and certainly those in government, we look at this stuff and go, nah, not so much fun. What is your major concern when there's a large storm like this rolling through?
Two things. One is stormwater throughout the city, potential flooding in certain areas. So we've got crews that'll head out and start checking on storm drains and making sure that things aren't clogged, and making sure that the culverts and are moving water through our system. Arcata has 6 different watersheds that move through the city. So creeks that all end up down.
Well, we
in.
Know where you came from. It wasn't Parks and Rec, was it? 6 watersheds, okay.
And so that's a lot of water moving under Arcata and trying to make its way out to the bay. So we're checking on that stuff, and then we're just really tracking, you know, our water and sewer system, and predominantly the sewer system in large rainfall events.
Okay, since you brought up historical, in the old days, what used to happen? I mean, go back 75 years ago, 100 years ago. So, I mean, the town wasn't quite as developed as it is, but there were still lots of folks. Did it just kind of run all over the place, and maybe somebody dug some little ravines or, you know, did a little bit of something like that to try to channel some of it, and it was just that?
Yeah, okay. I think you're right. I think we had areas of flooding, and then we had areas where people used backhoes to dig their way out.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So as storms come through, okay, there's preparation for it. That's no stunner, I don't think. How do you maintain during this series of storms? Do the guys just go around every grate gets a shovel? And, you know, is it that simplistic almost, just to try to keep things going through?
Some of the work is at Simplistic. Some of it, they have a route and they'll check them, you know, areas that we know have flooded in the past. A lot of our system through the wastewater system certainly is automated. So you've got, you know, potential alarms going off. We've got backup power at a lot of our sites, but some of our sites we don't. And so we're moving portable generators if we are in a situation of power loss to move water through the system. And then we're, you know, just looking through the system for surging manholes or areas of the sewer that are reaching capacity. We've got one overflow area as kind of sewer comes out of Sunny Bray. So we're checking that constantly to see if it needs to be pumped out to make room for more.
Kind of a traditional spot.
And then, Arcata has the open water naturalized wastewater system. So then we're watching how is that water moving through the system.
Does that have issues sometimes?
When it rains, and we figure it gets 3 inches of rain is 1 million gallons of water into our system. So if the entire system is designed to retain water until it's purified and can move through, you've got to look at, now you've got very diluted water, and you've got to figure out how you start moving that capacity to make room for the sewer water that's coming out of the town during the storm event as well. So it's just managing the levels and managing the ponds and making sure we're moving things at the right rate.
When you say sewer water, you don't mean sewage in the water. It also includes the water runoff off the streets and things like that?
No, when I say sewer water, I mean water in the sewer pipe that hopefully, you know, the majority of it comes from homes and, you know, toilets and showers and sinks. But the city of Arcata, and I think most of our North Coast communities, do have pretty big issues with what we call INI, or inflow and infiltration water, groundwater or stormwater getting into your sewer system. So that is an additional volume that you're managing during the storms as well. So in the case of Arcata, it could double our typical volume coming into our treatment plant on an event, even what we've had over the last, 72 hours.
So you will plug up the drains that connect one pond to the other as it's working its way through, or, and have it up higher, kind of like what you would expect to see if there's more water, the lake level would go up?
Either the lake level goes up or you try to start pushing water through into the later ponds and making room in the first ponds to start to detain the water that's coming in for a longer period of time.
Turbidity is probably not a big exciting thing, is it?
Not for treatment. You know, it is for the water system, but it's probably been over 10 years, maybe 12 years, that the region put in what we call a turbidity reduction facility associated with the Humble Bay Water District that services all of the Humble Bay cities and communities. So that really has knocked out turbidity in our drinking water in our area and has been a very smooth fix for us.
That's gunk in the water, folks.
Turbidity, yeah. Particle material, yeah.
Simple minds, simple words. How much larger can Arcata grow and not outgrow the systems that are in place? I mean, could you handle another 3,000-4,000 people?
Yes, our general plan calls for that level of build out. Our general plan also calls for every 5 years we do a reevaluation of our wastewater treatment plant. So we are in that process right now. In fact, the council will be hearing a preliminary report in April on the capacity of our system because we have several developments in the city right now that are proposed requesting what we call upzoning. So a site that might be zoned for low or medium residential housing, and they're requesting high density housing. We have one, as an example, we have one parcel that would be zoned for, I think it's 11 units, plus they could put a second unit. So I'd say 22 units, but they're requesting a 77 unit multifamily complex instead of 11 parcels with two units each. So, and then we've got a mixed use, what's called the Craftsman Mall right now, and it's kind of mixed use light industrial, I would say, for the most part the uses are. And we have a company that's proposing a 240 unit but an 800 bed student housing complex on it.
I would figure that the apartment buildings are really what's in short supply right now, and that's going to be where the push is.
Yeah, HSU tends to be growing at about 1% a year. So, you know, it's not a huge growth rate, but it has been a consistent growth rate. The demographics of their population is changing substantially over the last 5 years. So they have a lot of young first-time students out of the L.A. and San Diego County area that are coming up to Arcata, not necessarily on the drive for just the rural experience, but more looking for that CSU experience and the campus and the town gown experience. So their student population has a stronger interest, I think, in living closer to the campus. In a little bit more supportive atmosphere where they're not as isolated as some of the student populations of the past were maybe looking for. So we're working with the university on their housing strategic plan, trying to identify what is the type of housing that can be managed on campus and what is the type of housing that is going to be better suited for the community, especially for their upperclassmen, juniors, and seniors.
So in a nice way, in a polite way, were you saying they didn't want to live on campus, they want to be in town, or they didn't want to live in McKinleyville, they wanted to be in Arcata?
they're freshmen and sophomores. I think we've heard many stories now of students that will couch surf in Arcata before they will move out into the county, McKinleyville, Eureka, Bayside.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. Want to remind everybody, I hope it's a reminder, but to let everybody know in a half hour we're going to have a special on the Shopping Show website. You can go there, and if you purchase $100 worth of items, you get it at 40% off. You get to choose whatever it is, but the special is only available from 9 in the morning until noon. We're doing one of those little things like MedVed does.
And do you have any good
items there's
coming
plenty
up for
of
Arcata?
Plenty of Arcata
plenty
stuff.
Plenty of Arcata
yeah,
stuff this
yeah.
week.
Pizza and Deli.
That's a good one.
Golden Harvest. West Side
Excellent.
Pizza. There's a theme there.
There
food,
is.
Food, food, food. That's how I define good. Don't worry. We wouldn't leave Arcata out. On purpose. So just go to the website and then process it through and we'll take care of you. Karen, some of the different challenges I know are anticipated. Some are still kind of in flux. The governor always seems to have some interesting things going on. But I think the marijuana stuff, it seems to be more of a self-induced, I think. At least that's my sense. Yeah, California's looking at legalization. Yeah, Oregon is legalized. Washington, Colorado, da-da-da-da. But, you know, there's a reason why we're known for what we're known for. Is it problematic trying to work through the zoning, the potential issues, all these things in advance? Because it still is illegal, and it still is emotional, and it certainly is going to have complications down the road because it is a mind-altering drug.
Still a controlled substance, and certainly on the federal level, yes.
So as you're working through this stuff, it's really got to be kind of a weird situation. This Jekyll and Hyde kind of a situation. How do you go through it without going totally batty?
Yeah. You know, when the original 215 legislation passed, there was no state support in terms of implementation of that. So I think you saw local governments really struggle through a very local progress and process on how to implement that. And so Arcata's initial kind of legislation we call municipal ordinances that established our dispensary practices, I think has given us some good insight into how to help monitor and support this industry.
The term dispensary, I mean, I've been in one of them. Okay. But it wasn't what I think of as a dispensary. A dispensary to me is like a pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's
lab coats, things behind counters, yep. protected, yep. all that kind of, you know, safes, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Is that the is there a functional definition of what dispensary is, or is it more of a retail setting in a certain zone?
Right. Right now, in the legal sense, there has to be a relationship between the caregiver, the dispensary, and the patient. So, you know, the patient has to be a member of a collective that is then served by that dispensary. The only legalization of marijuana right now in California is for medicinal purposes. So through the medical marijuana legislation that just came out this last year, what the city has done is looked at our industrial general and industrial heavy zone properties and looked at where could the community expand cultivation and manufacturing. Arcata has been long is known for our manufacturing, sort of niche manufacturing industry. So how do we support the medical cannabis industry in manufacturing, processing, and, you know, sort of branding and adding value, product value to medicinal cannabis that then can be sold to dispensaries throughout California?
Does that include the edibles and then the salves and mm-hmm. the lotions and all that?
Mm-hmm. So all of those types of products. So the ordinance changes that the city introduced just this last week look at the areas, what we call sort of the West End Road area in Arcata, and it's where the old Humboldt Flakeboard plant was, which is probably the largest blighted property in Arcata right now, trying to figure out how do you take some of these old timber properties and start to infuse some cash and some financing to be able to clean them up. So it looks at the Humboldt Flakeboard property and then another set of properties in the West End Road area where cultivation and manufacturing of medicinal cannabis would be, when we talk about zoning, would be principally permitted. So they wouldn't need to go through a special conditional use permit to cultivate and manufacture medicinal cannabis in these areas.
Would the ideal build out from your perspective be a series of these facilities or something akin to the Food Works where you've got a big old warehouse and it's all subdivided inside so it's contained within one structure?
I think the council heard from the community was they wanted to make sure that multiple smaller local businesses could, you know, in essence, come out of their closets and into a supportive industrial environment where, you know, their workers could feel safe, where they could, you know, have other types of support practices from within the industry, all co-located in an area. So
more than just the office.
Yeah. So part of the regulation is you're restricted through this sort of principally permitted area to 4,000 square feet of cultivation or 25% of your overall square footage of a building. In addition to that, if you're cultivating, you also need to put in a 600 square foot commercial kitchen because that has been the type of space in Arcata that is most sought after. So while we're investing in all of these facilities right now, should part of this be sort of the boom and bust industry, at least we'll end up with infrastructure that supports sort of a known niche manufacturing of these small, you know, commercial cooking establishments in Arcata, which
so
we still have need for.
When you say cooking and marijuana, explosiveness, it's the first word that I think of, particularly after what Humble Bay Fire just did.
Yeah, that's something totally different.
That's a different kind of kitchen than
totally
what you're talking about.
Totally different, yeah.
Nip that one in the bud before it went any further.
Yeah, there's no end on play on words in this industry. But what you're seeing in terms of the explosiveness in houses is, you know, really illegal use of butane, which is not what we're talking about in commercial kitchens.
This is a kitchen.
This is a kitchen where you could
make cookies and bread kitchen?
Yep. Yep.
So why would a marijuana processing facility need a kitchen? Just for the employees?
No. So the idea is that you're processing the marijuana. You're doing something other than just cultivating. So you're making it into an edible product or you're making it into one of these salve products.
Doesn't
or
that take a laboratory?
Product. We also have laboratory spaces. Yeah, so you can do a kitchen or a lab, but mostly what they're looking for is sort of like that kitchen manufacturing space. Laboratory is more of the
testing.
I don't
sense that there's going to be a Fox gas stove in there. I think it's going to be a little bit different kind of kitchen than what I've got in my head.
I think they're going to look like a traditional kitchen. But the idea is, compared to like our food works, which, you know, is really all food industry, our local cannabis industry folks said, you don't want to mix kitchens. So we want separated kitchens that, you know, are not doing non-cannabis related edibles. So to make sure that you've got a good firewall between.
So everybody in that facility would all be
working
dealing
in
with the same stuff.
And in our existing food works, there would be no cannabis. So there's just
what happened to marijuana?
There's a lot of debate over the topic of marijuana or cannabis.
I know, and you flipped so quickly on this.
Well, they're completely interchangeable to me.
Good. Then you don't mind marijuana. KINS, News and Information Times, 844.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48, final couple minutes this morning with Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. Karen, so how does this project out? Are you looking at all of the old industrial property, the old Beaver Lumber also as a potential location for these warehouses that would become processing facilities, growing facilities? I don't know what the word would be for them.
Yeah.
And have them located on a lot of the old mill sites throughout the city?
The council has taken approach of, you know, walk slow to run fast later, hopefully, you know, so they are really hoping to start and metric out permits as we see success. So they have limited.
What does success look like?
I think success looks like our enhancement to the niche manufacturing that Arcata is known for. So you end up with successful businesses that are abiding by the rules and regs, meaning that they don't have tons of trucks coming at all times of the hours, you know, day and night.
Like now?
Three in the morning, you don't have a bunch of traffic then coming through your zone trying to, you know.
But if it's an industrial zone, wouldn't that be the, wouldn't you want them to be hours?
No, you want them to come through during your industrial business hours, you know, because at the end of the day, you want to be able to track the movement of the controlled substance and make sure that, one, you're not supporting sort of what we have looked at as the large environmentally sort of disastrous grows and bringing that material into the system, and you want to know where it's going from when it leaves the manufacturing site.
Well, it'll be an interesting discussion for next month also. Thanks for coming by. See everybody on Monday.